Genesis chapter 5 is where we want to be tonight. Genesis chapter 5. And I want to preach a message on the subject of walking with God. In verse 21 of this chapter it says, "And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." Again, notice there, verse 24, "And Enoch walked with God." You know, most everyone has preconceived ideas about what is meant by walking with God. I mean, just whenever I announce that is the subject of my message, there are undoubtedly thoughts that run through your mind. Now again, since we are all part of the same assembly and have heard the same preaching from the Word of God, our thoughts probably would be somewhat identical in nature. But that would not be the case if I was to ask someone outside of this assembly what it means to walk with God. One might understand it to mean recycling your paper and plastic or purchasing an electrical vehicle. Another person might think it means accepting people unconditionally, whether or not they're heterosexual or homosexual, whether they're living in fornication or not. And then there are those more biblically oriented, which would understand it to mean a life of consistent prayer and Bible study. But for this reason, I think it's important nowadays to, as the book of Job says, plentifully declare the thing as it is. Or in other words, define what we mean when we speak in generalities. If I was able to, I would very much enjoy to devote my entire preaching ministry to the subjects of walking with God and drawing near to Him. However, it would be impossible for me to preach on such subjects without explaining specifically what is meant by walking with God or drawing nigh unto Him. And I could not explain that with just one simple message or with a few qualifying statements preceding a message. No, one must be taught and grounded in the whole counsel of God. Otherwise, some hearers are likely to make applications that are not supported in the Scriptures. What does it mean? What does it mean to walk with God? And again, what I just said relates to the subject of walking with God, but it relates to many other subjects. Here recently, from Matthew chapter 7, we talked about judging and judgment. And again, today I was reminded how there's a certain segment of Christianity that perceives all judgment to be wrong. They don't think that we should judge one another, or at least that's what they say. There was an individual that has posted comments online about a church that, you know, had some Easter bunnies come in as mascots, and you know, they had the traditional Easter egg hunt and those types of things, and you probably realize by now I'm not in favor of such things. I can't perceive the Apostle Paul or the disciples or Jesus Christ entertaining the idea of having Easter bunnies on Resurrection Sunday in the assembly. I don't find any precedent for it in the Scriptures. Now, the individual that made a big deal about this, I may not have reacted or said things in a manner that he did, but you could tell he was opposed to it. And somebody thought that it was improper of him to pass judgment on this preacher and this ministry. And again, they made the comment, and I believe sincerely, we're not supposed to judge people, aren't we? Aren't judgments left up to God? Well, again, if you change the situation a little bit and say the church, what they did, instead of bringing Easter bunnies in, they brought statues of Zeus and Aphrodites. And during the... and again, it's because, you know, they've got this new movie out, Clash of the Titans, and all the young people, they're real excited about it because it's such a good movie, and it portrays Greek gods and goddesses, and so they want to attract the young people, and so they bring these statues in, and they have the young boys bow down to Zeus, and they have the young ladies bow down to Aphrodite, and it's just all an effort to reach them for Christ. I bet you wouldn't find too many Christians who wouldn't pass judgment on that. You see, it's not really a matter of judgment. It's a matter of whether or not you perceive what is being passed judgment upon is right or wrong. There are some people that aren't comfortable condemning Easter bunnies or Easter egg hunts. And there are some people that don't have a problem with it. You see what I'm saying? But again, we'd have to define when we talk about judgment. The Bible cautions believers, don't judge certain things, but you must judge other things. Paul told Timothy, you charge some that they teach no other doctrine. You can't do that without making a judgment call on a particular teaching. 1 John says, try the spirits. The Bible warns us, be careful about another gospel, another spirit, another Jesus Christ. You can't be careful if you're not discerning whether or not the Jesus Christ that someone is talking about is the biblical Jesus. Or whether or not the gospel that someone is talking about is the biblical gospel. Again, what I have said applies to many subjects. We have to clarify. We have to plentifully declare the thing as it is. We have to define what we mean. And not take for granted that everybody understands it the same way we do, which hopefully is in a biblical way. What does it mean to walk with God? I wish I would have thought about this before, but I didn't think about it until this evening. But I'd like to ask, and maybe I will ask some of my co-workers, what they think it means to walk with God. I'm curious what people outside of Shepherdsville Baptist Church would say about this subject. Because you see, it says here in our text that Enoch walked with God. He walked with God. Here, just in the middle of this genealogy, the Bible expounds a little bit on one man, and that man is Enoch. And undoubtedly, God has done this to draw our attention to what's taking place here. And I tell you what, there's something wrong with you if you don't read this text as a believer and say, you know what? I want to walk with God. I want to walk with God. It was something that was evidently so pleasing in the eyes of God that Enoch didn't have to die. Instead, it says in the book of Hebrews, in the book of Jude, that he was translated. That means he was transported. See, God did this long before Star Trek. I don't know, but maybe it was that Enoch was walking along with God this particular day. I like the way Dr. J. Vernon McGee used to say it, and they got to walking so long and so far that God said, well, you're closer to my home than you are yours. Why don't you just come up with me? And poof, they went up to heaven. It'd be nice, right, if we could walk so close to God that He just took us home. You know, the book of Jude says this, verse 14 and 15. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam. Let me just stop right there for a moment. Enoch, the seventh from Adam. And as you count the names here in this genealogy, you'll find that Enoch is the seventh man. You have Adam, the first, Seth, his son, Enos, Canaan, Mahaliel, Jared, and then Enoch. He's the seventh from Adam. He was born 622 years after the creation. And by the way, there's no room then here for an evolutionary process. There's no room for it in the Bible. He was the seventh from Adam. His son, here in the text, is Methuselah. Methuselah lived 969 years. I think he's the oldest man ever to live. He lived older than any other man in the Bible. And if you add 622 to 969, I believe you get 1656. That was the year after creation that Methuselah died. That was also, by the way, the year of the flood. And Methuselah's name has been reported to mean after this, the judgment. Because evidently, Enoch saw something, and we know that he did, because Jude verse 14 goes on to say that he prophesied of these, the false teachers talked about in the book of Jude, saying, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and for all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." Yeah, Enoch saw some things that other people didn't see, didn't he? And as a result, he said things that other people couldn't say. What did he say? Well, it says, first of all, "Behold, the Lord cometh." You know, the Bible tells us that there'll be mockers in the last days that say, "Where is the promise of His coming? You guys have been saying that for 2,000 years. Oh no, we've been saying it a lot longer than that. We've been saying it for nearly 5,500 years. Enoch was saying it way back when. The Lord cometh. And he wasn't referring to Jesus' first coming. Because it says, "The Lord cometh with his saints." By the way, that's not the rapture. He's not coming for his saints. He's coming with his saints. And Enoch said he's coming to execute judgment. To execute judgment. I want you to notice what those two verses tell us about Enoch. They tell us that he was a preacher, right? A prophet. What subjects did he address? Again, we're only given a general summation of what he preached. But what he preached was, Jesus is coming with his saints to execute judgment. I think we could call Enoch a hellfire brimstone preacher. Right? He said, to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed. Seems like God is placing an emphasis there on the ungodly. He's going to execute judgment. But Enoch, he prophesied of false teachers. That's what the book of Jude is talking about. Because there are other people in the Bible that prophesied of false teachers. In our Sunday morning services, we looked at how Jesus in chapter 7 said, "Beware of false teachers, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravening wolves." The Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 20 said, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock." Paul warned. Peter warned. He said, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies." And John warned of false teachers in 2 John verse 7 when he said, "For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh." This is a deceiver and an antichrist. I want you to notice what God said of Enoch in Hebrews chapter 11. "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found." Somebody must have went looking for him that day, but he was gone, because God translated him. "For before his translation," notice this, "he had this testimony that he pleased God." Enoch had this testimony that he pleased God. Do you know that phrase is evidently used interchangeably with the phrase in Genesis 5 that he walked with God? They're one of the same. Do you know, I think there's only 4 or 5 people in the scriptures that are specifically said to have walked with God. Noah, the Bible says, walked with God. Genesis 6:9, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And you know, he was also a preacher of righteousness, wasn't he? Abraham and Isaac, Joseph said that both of these men, his fathers, walked with God. Of David, it says, "There shall not fail thee a man in my sight." This is God, how he promised to David, "a man in my sight to sit on the throne of Israel, so that thy children take heed to their way, that they walk before me as thou hast walked before me." David walked with God, walked before him. And by the way, all these men that I just mentioned are also referenced in Hebrews chapter 11. But there's not that many, is there? David, Abraham, Isaac, Noah, and Enoch. Just a handful of men in the scriptures that are said to have walked with God. If you walk with God, you're in rare company. Again, what does it mean to walk with God? I'm sure if I did further studying, I could better define it for you, but that's not what I'm going to do this evening. I'm not going to explain to you specifically what it means to walk with God, because we're not told enough about Enoch's life to understand what that meant. But you know what we do see in the life of Enoch? We see the products of an individual who walked with God. I don't think his preaching ministry is what is meant by walking with God. I don't think that his preaching about the Lord's coming is what is meant by the fact that he walked with God. I don't think it's his hellfire brimstone preaching when he said the Lord is coming to execute judgment. I don't think that that's what is meant by him walking with God, but those things are all the products of walking with God. That's how a man behaved when he genuinely walked with God. He preached. And in his preaching, he focused on the fact that Jesus is coming and judgment is imminent. He was a hellfire brimstone preacher warning sinners to repent. If that's how someone acts who walks with God, those who walk with God today indeed are a rare commodity. Because I don't think we hear a whole lot of preaching today from men of God that focus on Jesus is coming and judgment is imminent. But that's the kind of preaching that Enoch did. And can I remind you, the Bible says that Enoch had this testimony before he was translated, that he pleased God. The world seems to think it a negative characteristic for someone to be a hell fire brimstone preacher. Someone asked me last week, "Are you a hellfire brimstone preacher?" I said, "Well, I don't know exactly what you mean by that." I said, "I do believe that hell is fire and brimstone." Of course, that's not exactly what they meant. I think what they meant was, do you preach with energy? Do you yell and scream? And I had to admit, only occasionally. I don't know if Enoch yelled and screamed, but I do know the substance of his preaching. And the substance of it was, Jesus is coming and judgment is imminent. And folks, I say then, based on what these scriptures tell us, that if we're walking with God, we will be prophesying in the sense of preaching. We will be preaching. It will be an outpouring of our walk with the Lord. As He reveals things to us, we won't be able to help but to share them, to preach them to others. The closer we walk with the Lord, the more eager we're going to be in His presence. Just like Enoch. And the more aware we become of the eternal destiny of the ungodly, the more we'll seek to warn them of what awaits. Those are the products of walking with God. You know, we all have a tendency to modify our behavior in the presence of certain company. We treat our siblings nicer, you young people, when mom and dad are around. We all work harder when our supervisor is present. We mind our manners amongst elegant dinner companions, and we monitor our speech much closer when we're around the preacher. But how would you act in the very presence of God? How would you act if Jesus walked with you side by side? Hopefully in a manner that is consistent with the Scriptures. What does it mean to walk with God? You know what? That's something we're going to learn week by week, service by service, message by message. The more aware we become of what the Scriptures require of us as believers, the better we'll understand what it means to walk with God. Because we'll live our lives as though He's right there beside us. In Genesis 17:1, God said to Abraham, "Walk before me." I always read that scripture and have a vision of God standing there while Abraham is living. And God said, "I want you to live your life before me, understanding that I'm watching everything that you do." We live in an age of careless Christians, folks, because people don't know what it means to walk with God. But you need to learn to walk with God. And when you do walk with the Lord, you'll walk carefully. Because you wouldn't want to do anything in His presence that would bring disgrace to His name. Yes, even in the genealogies, we find things that are very applicable to our lives. I hope and pray that we will all strive to walk with God. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Thy Word. Thank You for this example that we have in the man Enoch. Lord, the Bible says that you were pleased with him. God, I pray that our desire is to meet with your approval. And Lord, I pray we would walk with thee. And Lord, if the products of the consequences of walking with thee include us preaching to others, looking for Jesus to come, warning sinners of the impending judgment, then Lord, might these things be exhibited in our life. And Lord, while these things will not necessarily earn us the applause of men, as long as it meets with your approval, may we desire to do them. God, I pray that week after week, service after service, message after message, you would help us to understand in a better way what it means to walk with thee. And God, as we understand it, help us to do it. So take the message tonight, use it in the hearts and lives of your people, use it to bring glory unto thyself. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can